Welcome to The Standard. The Standard is on a mission to champion the pursuit of excellence and fight against the celebration of mediocrity. For those who refuse to lower their standards, for those who can't raise their own, this is The Standard. For fitness, for family, for life.
It's nice to put a face behind the Instagram account.
Yeah. Here it is. It's not much. Sorry.
Sorry, we're filling out a application for FDIC.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What do you guys want to do out there?
We've done this like Master the Basics class.
Yeah.
Four times now. And nice. It's basically just taking those simple skills, throwing ladders, vertical vent, hose deployments, hitting a hydrant, stuff that I think we like just take for granted, and breaking it down to, I don't know, I guess you could say the minutiae of it, especially things like masking up, you know, like we don't really hit that at all. And we get people coming into our firehouse that, you know, they don't have a technique for it. They're just like, well, I just mask up. And it's like, well, no, at least for me, my hand is like in a specific spot. My straps are in a specific, I mean, my whole flow is the same every time. And you know, that's why you can get a 10-second mask up pretty consistently. And so that's what we try and do. So the first day is basically just hitting these skill stations and getting like as many reps as you want, right? Four splintry as much as you want. And then the second day we add some stress and some competition to those skills that we learned the day before.
Awesome.
It's brutal, man. I mean,
it's so bad.
We can only do,
I mean, it's, we can only do once or twice a year. It's it's so taxing.
It's all, yeah.
It's, I mean, it's a great experience, but it is so exhausting, you know?
Yeah.
You're in your gear. Our goal is, with all of our instructors, is, and it's kind of like that. I mean, one of the big things other than masking up is get comfortable in your gear, make it a non-factor. And so seeing instructors just stay in their gear and their pack for 2 days straight while, you know, we let the students do whatever they want, but it's just like that, hey man, it's a non-factor for us. And so you kind of have to just model that, you know, but it still sucks. I mean, we talk about it. It's like, you know, it's fun and it's a non-factor, but it, I mean, it's definitely more comfortable in shorts and a t-shirt than it is in gear all day, you know?
Oh yeah. It's a lot more comfortable.
But you just do it. And that's a big part of it. So it's at the end of 2 days being outside, you're like, oh man. I mean, we sit down at lunch and we take an hour lunch every day. And we have these big IPAs that we always drink that they're like from this Greeley.
Called Weldworks. They're called Juicy Bits.
Yeah.
All
it's
right,
it's like really like one of the,
it's
really
the best
good.
Beer
so
you'll
we
ever
all
have.
Sit down and we have it at lunch and it's back at it. I mean, it's like, so we have this kind of great tradition of that, but I think the students, they see us, oh, they're drinking beer at lunch. And then it's like, nope, we're back at it.
We're going to hammer
an hour.
You. Yeah.
So, but you need it, man. Yeah. It's like you go through the morning and it's like, oh.
You guys put on a lot of trainings, don't you?
So where at work we do, we put on a whole bunch of training.
Yeah.
Me personally, I'm just starting to get into that kind of field.
Yeah.
I've helped out at a few of the local conferences here, but I'm just now starting to branch out and hopefully start doing my own thing.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
I think the local conferences, man, they have something over a lot of the bigger ones. I mean, I Firemanship, Mile High, High Plains. I mean, those are the ones that we've gone and taught at, and you get some pretty high caliber instructors coming to these smaller ones and you get a lot more hands-on.
Yeah. A lot more hands-on, which is really nice. And there's not a whole bunch of those over here where I'm at. So I'm in Northern California and we get a couple a year, but they're not very big. The one in Fresno is the biggest one that we have. And there's a whole bunch of classes there to take. It's a week long, but there's just not a lot of other opportunities outside of that for any outside training.
Where in Northern California?
So I work for Sac Metro. So I'm just outside of Sacramento. And then I live about 30 minutes away from there.
Oh, nice, man.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It seems like California has gotten over like the last year or so, like so beaten up from COVID, the
yeah.
leadership
politics,
of it,
everything,
the everything yeah, man. Yeah. It just seems like it's such a hard place to work.
It definitely has its stresses, that's for sure. So
that's a good piece
of the COVID
answer.
Times were pretty hard here, but.
Oh man, can't even imagine.
I mean, cause we had a pretty, and we talk about our COVID experience, like it wasn't that bad.
And our department didn't require mandatory
vaccinations or.
But neighboring ones did. And
right.
Of course we ended up with the same outcomes, you know, as other departments. So that helped, cause that would have made things way worse.
I mean, working cardiac arrests in full Tyvek suits, hard pass ever again.
Oh, it's man. Not fun.
That
you're
was so bad.
In a sauna doing it.
Exactly. So are you a medic as well?
Yes.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
How did you get into, I mean, you have a crazy following on Instagram. How did that all start?
When did it start?
It started back in October, so it's still new. It's been around for like 8 months.
Oh my gosh.
Crushing it.
That is awesome, man.
And I just kind of started it, and I had no idea what I was doing. I wasn't too sure how any of the Instagram stuff really worked. I had a personal account, but I hadn't logged into it for a couple of years at that point. And we're all sitting around at the table at the fire station. And the crews that I work with, I'm super lucky. They're very heads on. They're wanting to do a bunch of work. And so we're always talking about all of our training, all the tactics that we do, strategies and everything. And we're just kind of talking about how most of the Instagram pages that these guys were following were East Coast tactics and not so much what we do here. So that's kind of where the idea came from. And I reached out to a couple people that I knew that were doing the Instagram stuff. And just they're saying videos get a lot of likes and views. So if you're trying to gather a following to do something. So I just was trying to do a whole bunch of the videos and the reels and all that kind of stuff. And I just got really lucky and had some larger pages start to share some of my stuff. And I think that just helped me with the following big time.
What are some of the biggest differences you think are between East Coast and West Coast tactics?
From the stuff that I'm seeing here, now that I'm on Instagram, I'm doing all that and I'm looking, there's a lot of the row housing, high rise, mid rise stuff. And where I'm at, we just don't do a lot of that. We have your single family dwellings, whole bunch of apartment complexes. And the way that we attack those are a lot different than we would attack a high rise. So it seemed like the bigger pages that everyone was following was just a lot different than what we were doing here. And we're also three managing companies. And so we don't have the big squads with everyone on them or the big trucks with a whole bunch of the personnel. So we're on the lower end of the staffing area. So just having to do everything first on scene with that engineer on the pump, and when the captain's trying to get a 360 and the firefighter's trying to figure out what kind of stretch he's going to do. And
every task seems to be one person task, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is.
I'm a proud union member. I'm very for staffing, four person. Oh, yeah. I think it's crucial for safety. All that being said, if you're on a three man engine company, you get to do a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know, like there is a benefit to, having a few less people on scene when it comes to the amount of tasks you get to accomplish. Obviously that is not the way that, it's not the quote unquote safest way to do things, but it is, you know, like there is a benefit to it, you know, and Tom and I joke cause I'm always on the roof and he's always inside. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm not that great at what he does, because I don't get as many reps at it, you know, like, whereas you guys, you kind of have to be like really good at everything.
You'd probably be inside and on the roof in the same fire, potentially, you know?
Yeah. So we have some pretty aggressive truck companies. And so that's a huge benefit for us. There's four firefighters on the truck.
Oh, nice.
And so we'll split them. We'll have one firefighter. It'll be one firefighter and an engineer. They'll go inside and search usually. And then the other firefighter, and the company officer, they'll go on the roof for vent.
Have you been doing fire stuff pretty much forever? Were you in something before this?
No. So, I've been doing it since a few weeks out of high school. I got very lucky and got picked up with the U.S. Forest Service and was doing some hand crew stuff out there.
Oof.
And you definitely learned to grind and some hard work on that. So
I don't think there's a harder job in the fire service.
I don't think so either.
Like, and
if you can make it in those environments and thrive in that, your work ethic and you're a better person when you come out of it. That's for sure.
It seems like, and I know a few like wildland guys, they don't want nothing to do with the city. They're totally happy with where they're at. And it seems like a brutal, brutal position.
There's a lot of those guys. And for the first little bit that I did it, I thought I was on that same page. I was like, man, this is great. This is a lot of fun. We're going to a bunch of fires. We're doing a bunch of work. And then you start to realize, like, I can work a lot less
in
this spending department. And the benefits and the pay is always better there. So
yeah, I'm always impressed by those hand crews, especially like that Sawyer Swamper team. I mean, I don't know if there's a tougher group of people than that.
No, I was a Swamper for a little bit and eventually got moved up to Sawyer. And that was the hardest work I've ever done. And it was a blast. I absolutely loved it and learned a ton doing it.
It's relentless.
It's a lot of hard work.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's never ending.
No.
And there's no shortage of work. I mean, especially where you're at.
No, all that, just a whole bunch of manzanita and thick brush to go through. So there's always work to do.
Gross, man.
So why'd you call it coffee table tactics? Was it more of a joke on it or just a place to, is it just a place to discuss? Cause you know, we talk about, you know, a coffee table. Sometimes everybody sits at the coffee table and critiques everybody else, but really like you got to get out and do it. Obviously,
yeah, absolutely.
Obviously when you get into your page, there's nothing about just sitting around the table, but is the point of it to kind of a play on getting guys out of the actual kitchen table, or is it, hey, this I'm providing you material to sit around at the firehouse and discuss, so we're always kind of talking fire.
And so it kind of moved through a few different phases on that. The reason I initially started that was because for our crew, we would show up in the morning. We would do all of our rig checks and do all that kind of stuff and make sure that the rigs were in order. And then we would all get some coffee, we'd sit down at the table, and we'd all discuss about what kind of training and what we wanted to do for the day. I was at a firehouse that would have at least one probie at a time. And so we were always trying to juggle what they needed to do, what we wanted to do. If the firefighter wants to promote and become an engineer or captain, just trying to fill all that in. So we would spend 30, 45 minutes sitting there at the table having coffee, just kind of figuring out what our day was going to look like. Then once I started to get more content and everything, it started to turn into, there was other crews that were seeing what we were doing and they were looking at our page in the morning and kind of figuring it out. And then they would want to go out and train on the stuff that
so
we were doing.
So crews on your department?
Yes.
That's good. Sometimes you see that within, you know, people's department that say have social media followings or go out and teach or, you know, guys run conferences or whatever, that then people within that department kind of shy away from really wanting to do anything with it, you know? But it sounds like in your department you have a little bit of support there, which is great.
Yeah, it is. And there's the naysayers, of course, and there's
they're everywhere.
Yeah, there's the guys that don't like it and say we're wasting time doing it, but they're also the ones that I don't want working next to me on a fire. So
their
opinions I don't really care about.
Do you think there's any way to get them back?
I think there is. I think the disconnect that they have is just from some of the older guys that were burned out and they were around that, so they're used to that negativity. And then that kind of spreads out on the new guys. And then when the new guys are hanging out doing their stuff, man, I hate this place. Sitting at the hospital sucks. You know, we ran 15 calls yesterday and we didn't help a single person, you know, and I've had my fair share of the dark spots, you know, where you're sitting there and you're really trying to figure out why you're doing this when it's the 6th, 7th one after midnight and you're not really doing anything. But I feel like with training and you get out and you train and you're around people that want to get better at the job, then you can kind of bring them in and they're wanting to go out and train now and their attitudes get better.
This episode's brought to you by the Patreon. Our patrons are members that want more from our community. So for just a few dollars a month, you can get more episodes, you can get free gear, you can get an opportunity for conference calls, and even to vote on future episodes. Check out our website at the-standard.us and sign up. How do you think being a dad in the fire service, good for families, bad for families?
I think it's great for families. I think I'm very lucky to get the kind of family time that I do get. We're off for 4 days and then I go to work for 2 days, and there's overtime and some mandatories in there too, but to get 4 full days with your family, there's not many jobs you can do where that's a normal thing. And we take full advantage of it. We're always going out on trips. We're always going on some kind of vacation. We love going to the beach. And I feel like being able to have multiple days off in a row, I can really spend a lot of time with my daughter and my wife.
What's your wife do? So,
she's a stay-at-home mom.
Oh, nice, man.
Saint.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I would not want that job, man.
No, she's the rock that holds this whole place together. She's amazing. Dude, I'm very lucky to have her in my
speaking
life.
Speaking of relentless, when you're around your kids and you get we get to go to work, get a break.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, it's just nonstop.
And it's
forever.
There is no, like, you can't take a day off.
No.
You know?
No, like, so there's no sick time. Right? Just you'll lay in bed and then maybe, you know, you'll call in sick and help her out. But it's like, in reality, there's not really sick time. It's like, they're still going to come in and bug your ass and like try to wake you up and keep you up. And
yep.
So how do you handle that? Like when you come home from work, I feel like if I were in a stay-at-home parent like mode, I'd be like, sweet, you just got home. I need a break. Here you go. But you just have been up for, you know, maybe you got a few hours of sleep in the last couple of days. How do you navigate that?
My wife, again, she's awesome. She'll see me when I walk in, and there's days where she's like, yep, you just need to go take a nap before we do anything else today.
Yeah.
And so I'm super lucky to be able to have that. And then there's days where I come home and we had an easy night, and I'll tell her, hey, if you want to go out and do whatever for the day, you know, I got her from the morning on. There's a pretty good little balance there. But again, like I'm super lucky to be in the situation I have, and it's awesome.
What, you got any more buns in the oven?
Nope. We're trying.
Nice.
We're hoping so.
Good for you.
But yeah,
goes
we're in the fun stage right now, at least.
Two on one to
man on man. Yeah.
Yep.
And then to zone. Dude, I never had to play zone, so.
I don't know how. We got a guy on our job who has 8 kids.
Oh my!
He drives a a church van to work.
Yeah,
like one of those 12-passenger jobs.
8 kids.
8 kids, man.
I mean, I got 2. We're not having any more. But now that they're getting to where they are, I wish I had more. And I don't like. I would have personally been okay going through the diaper stage in a little bit longer. Like, I think I would enjoy this time. And I am. I wish there was more coming.
Yeah.
You know, because,
yeah,
I mean, daughter's going into 6. That's 6 more years, you know, and then she's gone. So empty nest then. I mean, I don't know. I really enjoy watching them grow. You know, it ain't easy all the time. And it seems like you only remember the good stuff, right? You take pictures of the good stuff where you're smiling. Oh, that's a great memory. But there's some times that suck, but I don't know, man.
There's definitely those hard times in there.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, some days are absolute dumpster fire.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You're, like, barely holding it together. And, like, you know, you're laying in bed at the end of the night and look at your wife and you're like, what just happened?
Absolutely, yep.
Oh, man.
Things were going so well.
Yeah, it's day-to-day sometimes.
Oh, it's brutal. I had a question because I feel like Tom and I are kind of in the same spot where a lot of what we do is on social media and we're trying to present ourselves in a certain way. And then I see some pages where you might not think that the person behind it is very genuine, right? Like, hey, they're just in it for the likes. They're just in it for, you know, maybe that notoriety.
Yeah.
Do you think that those people will end up fading away at some point or kind of get found out? Or do you think you can hide on social media forever?
I hope they get found out. Yeah. And I hope that they stop doing it. It's one of those things. if you're going to continue to try to present yourself a certain way on social media, like, you have friends, you have other people that know exactly who you are. And I feel like you can only lie to them so much before maybe internally you start to think, hey, maybe I shouldn't be doing this anymore. I feel like with the fire pages too, it's because there's a lot of the same training out there and there's a lot of people that are just doing it for the likes. And I feel like if you're not really wanting to get out there and train and wanting to go out there and do it, then you're not going to have that new material. You're not going to have the new pictures or the new video or whatever it is of you guys getting out there and training. And the crew that you work with too, if they're part of it, they're going to know. So if you're listening to any other input, then hopefully they're recognizing it. And
I think one thing that's been kind of cool, at least that I found, is when you reach out to someone who has a big following, it seems like almost intimidating. There's like this almost like pseudo feels like you're trying to talk to a celebrity, pseudo celebrity. And everyone has been so nice. Like anytime you like hit them up in the DMs and you have a question, I think that's how you can tell the gamers, but the people who are fake is when you get a response that is like genuine and insightful, I think you can believe a little bit more that they have the good intentions, the right intentions.
And they're wanting to help too, which is hopefully why a lot of these pages are there, you know, because for my page, at least, like, I know I'm just wanting to spread some training out there, whether it's something that they're going to use or not, that's up to them. But if the idea is in their head and, hey, they see that door and they want to go try to force it this way instead, then that's awesome. And I get a lot of people that are afraid to write in the comments. And so they'll send me messages and they'll ask me questions about, hey, on that last post, what exactly did you do with the Halligan, or where was that wedge placed, you know? And I always interact with them because I understand how the comments can be a little overwhelming sometimes because there's a lot of negativity in a few of them.
Yeah, you know? How do you deal with the trolls?
I'm still figuring that out.
Tell me a good troll story. What is a good troll story you've had?
Oh, you get a lot of people on there that just immediately hate on whatever it is that you're doing, you know, and whether it's single person forceful entry or the way that I pull hose versus the way someone else pulls hose, there's just a lot of, hey, you're an idiot. I would never do that. You don't know what you're doing. You've never been on fires. I go to fires every day and I'm better than you. And you're like, hey man, if that's the persona you need to play on yourself, you go for it. Me telling you you're an idiot on Instagram isn't going to do anything. So
I had a troll a few years back. I mean, it was a year ago. Maybe it's 2 years ago.
Oh, it was last year.
When Craig started East Metro Fire page, you know, it was a lot of our crew training that we did. We had to create that page just because our department didn't want us using
anything,
anything, right? And so we kind of documented over a long time the path to going from being, you know, engine guys that started throwing ladders to really proficient ladder company guys that, hey, now we can throw single person 35s on our own, you know? And so there's a progression over the couple of years of doing that, and there's a lot of failure. And we posted a video of us like working out on the Rogue and masking up or something. And like 2 weeks before that video went out, like I was on a fire and I was taking down a 35 on my own and I was just lowering it onto my shoulder. And I'd step back, tripped on a rock, and then like the tip of the ladder then hit the ground, kind of like cantilevered over my shoulder.
Uh-huh.
And I just picked it back up, went over, put it away. You know, but then everything went around like, oh, you know, this guy dropped a ladder on the fire, you know, blah, 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 you know.
That's why we don't do it.
But yeah. So this troll gets on our Instagram and says, yeah, so at what point in this video, you know, that we're doing mask up drills, at what point in this video does Tom drop the 35-foot ladder on a fire scene? I'm like, okay, well, we know that it's somebody that,
yeah, it was a burner
on
burner
our
account.
Department. So, I mean,
yeah,
burner account. And long story short, found out who he was, had a conversation with him in a station one time because we ended up like relieving each other, you know, on off shift.
Yeah.
And it was super awkward because my response was, hey, man, like, if you got something to say, say it. Like, I'm not taking it personal because I know the work that went in to get where I was at. And I know this other person can't do it himself. So it's like, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and like argue with somebody or get pissed off, but I want to know who it was, because it was a troll, and it was somebody that I'd worked with, you know?
Yeah.
And in the end, it was just like an excuse after an excuse, like, well, that's not accepted practice, or I'm not going to hurt my back doing it. And my response was, well, why go after other people just trying to get better? Like, we're all on the same team here. I said, so a guy trying to move 2.5 inch by himself, and maybe he gets stuck or just can't move it, and he's trying his ass off, like, you're going to make fun of that guy? But really, all he's trying to do is get better. Like, what are we doing here? And I think that's the problem with a lot of trolls, is they haven't asked themselves, like, whose team are we on? And like, what's the goal of all this? Like, why do we want to discount other people that are simply just trying to get better, whatever they are passionate about? You know, but I mean, trolls are everywhere in life, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's not just the fire service. It's not just social media. It's like, you got trolls of how you parent your kids, right, Craig? You know, it's just like,
not me.
No, you're perfect.
Yep.
He is perfect. He's the perfect dad.
My wife.
And I feel like with the social media, it's so much easier to be that troll or say something negative, because you don't have to have that face to face conversation
anonymous.
With someone.
It's anonymous. Keyboard warrior.
Have you ever trolled, like, not trolled, but have you ever been so like taken aback by something you've seen on the internet and wrote a negative comment?
No, I've never done a negative comment.
I've never met anyone who has.
You know?
What do you mean?
I've never met anyone who has like taken the time out of their day to write on someone's post like, you're an idiot, or this is stupid.
Yeah, I mean, my response is no response. It's like, okay, I turn this page off or turn the post. Like, this is dumb, but I'm certainly not.
Also, like, why are you
out of my day to engage?
Why are you following us?
Yeah.
Turn off the channel.
Yeah.
I had one guy that on every video that we posted of some kind of interior firefighting on a real fire, you're an idiot for going interior. That's super dangerous. You guys shouldn't do that. So I sent him a private message, and I was like, hey man, you know, I'm just trying to figure out why you're so against like us going interior. And if you are, then why are you following the page? Cause that's kind of what,
that's what we do here,
you know? And he screenshot it and he threw it in the stories and he tagged me and all this kind of stuff. And,
but you're like, I'm just trying to have a conversation. And now
exactly.
You're trying, I mean, hey man, I'm reaching out to you. Let's have a conversation. I mean, that was the whole thing too. With my troll is I messaged him, his account on Instagram, and say, hey man, like, if you want to like chat or train together, I'm all for it. I don't want to show up and like, let's just have a boxing match. I mean, I really don't care, but like, let's be men and let's talk about it. Like, if you've got something to say and you got some tactics, you know, you want to bring to the table, let's do it. You know, let's get out from behind the keyboard.
Well, have you, you said you're getting into, you've done some training at local conferences. You're going to, is the goal to kind of get your own, like take this Instagram company and bring it into like more hands-on teaching?
Yeah, that wasn't the initial goal at all, but locally I've gotten a lot of feedback from it, and there's a lot of people that are wanting some training, and there's a lot of really good instructors in the area and a lot of really good firefighters. So I'd love to bring all of us together and start a cadre, which we're starting to work on right now, and then start to branch out and do either like a 1-day class, a 2-day class, hot classes, whatever it is that looks like, and move out of the Sacramento area and start reaching other departments and other, just other agencies.
That's awesome, man. I mean, just like the trolls, they come to those shows. They come to the conferences too.
They don't. No. Trolls don't come to hot classes.
Oh, I totally disagree. Not ours.
Yeah,
but
I've
I've taught at a lot of classes where you technical rescue is like my, I love it. And
okay.
I've taught a lot of classes where you'll have some person, and you can't stand in the back in our fire class. Like there is no off to the side. But definitely in some of these rope classes, you can get by with not having to do much. And you'll see them. They'll just be sitting in the back corner, just kind of like rolling their eyes like, oh, this is fucking bullshit.
You got to laugh at them because like you paid for this and you're sitting here like, what idiot pays for something they don't even believe in, you know?
Totally. Yep. But it's
why are you here?
It's so much easier to deal with them face to face.
Oh, 100%. Well, like, it's just like, hey, show me.
No, well, yeah, that's it. That's right. Hey, listen, I know you disagree with this. So, like, I'd love to see how you do it. And then I just want to do it side by side. And we'll just see what happens. See how efficient this is.
Yeah.
And it would be nice to be able to have some sort of recourse like that online. But, I mean, I guess it's like, why are you even wasting your time?
Yeah. I mean, that.
So, we do is we'll time most of our evolutions and we'll figure out how long it takes us to do certain stuff. And then when someone says, hey, that's super slow, this is way faster, I'm like, all right, well, let's go do it.
Film it.
Let's
show me.
Let's figure out how fast
it
is.
Yeah, we had that happen before. It's like, oh man, that's really slow. Okay, well, let's go do it. Because guess what? Coming off the rig, hitting a hydrant, getting your water supply and whatever, it takes this long. Like it takes, you know, with one person to get water supply with short section.
25-foot feet section.
Yeah, we were talking 90 seconds. And people are like, 90 seconds? I could do that in 45. And I mean, we're talking, you start on the rig, you know, you're in all your gear, you get out, you have to go grab the short section, and you've got to connect to the engine, to the hydrant, but you've got to flush the hydrant. You got to do it right, right? You got to tighten your caps, yeah. And you got to flush the hydrant. Everything's no kinks in the hose either, right? So it's got to be done right. And it's like, oh, then the people like try it, and it's like 2 minutes and 30 seconds. It's like, see, told you.
It's not.
I was gonna say 90 seconds seems really fast.
Yeah, I mean, well, that is, and that's like everything goes right.
And that's 90 seconds on the same hydrant that we, you know, like there was a lot of
rehearse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a little rehearsal in that, but we couldn't get it any faster.
Yeah,
like everything had, because there couldn't be any kinks in the line. You actually had to flush your hydrant. You know,
and then you had to go back and open up the valve to the engine so you actually finish the water supply.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, it sounds like, oh, I could easily do that. And, no, it's not. So kind of opens guys' eyes up to, hey, when you're sitting at the front door and you're fumbling with your mask and you think it's only 10 seconds, it's probably closer to a minute. So you want to hone in on those skills because – you know, when you think you're moving fast, I mean, that's what I've always thought about. When you think you're moving fast, you're not probably as fast as you think you are. You know, and that's with me even. It's like, oh, I'm got those tasks done and it was smooth, and I probably could still be a little bit better. It's not as fast as I think as it was. You know,
especially on the fire ground when it's just a fast paced environment.
Right.
You know, you feel like everything goes by super quick, but the overhaul is what takes forever, and it's not as fast as we think it is.
Is there a progression after that 90 second hydrant hookup or however you guys time your evolutions? Is there a step beyond that? Let's say that everyone's, man, we're crushing these times. Then what?
Let's throw something else in there. You know,
surprise.
Yeah.
I think that's the game, right? Like,
then it becomes adapt.
Totally. Right. Yep. We'll take the clock. We'll have it in the background, but now I'm going to hide your hydrant wrench.
Yeah.
Not to be an asshole, but you know, then when I go, you can throw some audibles at me.
Yep.
I think that's that next level of proficiency.
Yep. Is being able to solve that problem quickly and not let it screw up your entire operation for minutes at a time. It's like, I got a problem. Okay. What's plan B here? I think that's the next step.
Yeah, I feel like the more you train and the more you know your equipment and you know what you should be doing, I feel like that goes so much smoother. There's something that I always ask my probies after their first fire is, hey, did you have to think about that hose pull at all? Mm. And they're always like, no, I didn't. I'm like, you're right, because we pulled hose and you trained enough, you put in the work that's now second nature. And so if something would have gone wrong with that, you would have been able to fix it very quick and it wouldn't have been a huge delay. And so I feel like that's where training and always training and figuring out how you can be faster and just knowing your equipment is huge.
Well, and training under stress too, right? Like we learn from our mistakes, but we also learn the most from the mistakes that happened in, I think, stressful environments or critical times. Like you remember some of your biggest mistakes, Craig. I mean, whatever time in life it was, but I mean, it was like, if it was a stressful time or if it was, do you understand what I'm saying? Like you remember it more.
Yeah.
If the consequences maybe were greater.
Well, I think what happens is when you are in stressful situations, your you kind of think of like a aperture on a camera, right? The tighter the aperture, the little amount of light gets let in. The bigger the aperture, the more amount of light gets in. When you have these big kind of intense moments, all of your apertures are open, right? You're taking in so much more input from your eyes and your ears. So those, all your senses. So it makes the memory that much more like vivid because all those apertures are like wide open. So yeah, I remember a lot of the gigantic mistakes that I've made and it's like, they're super embarrassing.
So why not, but why not try to get there to a point in training, right?
Yeah.
You know,
do it beforehand.
Yeah. And then you learn, and that's a good way, like you said, is learning your equipment, knowing it, knowing your capabilities, and then something goes wrong in a stressful environment. Oh, let's try this here. I feel like every fire I go on now, something happens, and I can revert back to something that happened to me in training. Like, oh, I've been here. You know, we go on a fire the other day with a, you know, membrane roof with foam, and did it in a training class as far as overhauling it. So, 3 or 4 layers of foam on top of a metal deck with membrane. And we've done it enough that, you know, twice it's like, I immediately go back to training and it's like, okay, we got to cut this membrane and the foam with a chainsaw, not a circular saw, a chainsaw just rips right through it. And then you hit the tacks that hold it down. Instead of trying to like pry the foam up, you just smash
washers.
Yeah, I mean, they're just what secure the foam down, and you just smash them with an axe, and then everything just pops up. And it's like, because we did it, we've done it. That's 2 fires now we've done it on. You know, so like the more you expose yourself to these experiences, I mean, that's a big part of being like a really good fireman, I think, is just going to a lot of fires, right, and having that experience, but then just getting in and like getting your hands dirty on stuff, like working your ass off on fire. Because if you're cutting or you're spraying water or whatever, that's another rep and that's another slide in the slideshow. And so
yep.
10, 15, 20 years on the job, you start to accumulate a lot of slides and it's like, man, I've been here before to an extent, or I can use that slide and adapt to this situation.
Did someone kind of teach you that along the way? I mean, you started in the wildland world. Is there a training atmosphere on the wildland side like there is on the structure side?
Yeah, so I was on hand crew. We would go out and train every single day. If we weren't assigned to a fire doing something, we would go out and cut line. We would go out and hike. We would have certain hikes that the crew boss had picked out, and depending on the mood he was in, it was going to depend on how far and how high we were going. But they were very, very physically demanding there. And we would do a handful of classes in the very beginning of the season just as a refresher. But other than that, it was more hands-on. Let's just go out there. Let's see the environment that we're going to be working in. Let's run the saws through all this manzanita and figure it out. Because you're going to throw chains if you don't know what you're doing or if you've never done it before. So let's get out there and let's do it right now. So when it is burning, we're not throwing chains and slowing everyone down.
Is there a similar like conference setup or training setup for like wildland, or is it more of, hey, you're in this crew, you guys kind of do your thing, and then these people over in, you know, Texas, they kind of do it this way?
The biggest training that I ever went to was Southern California over in Camp Pendleton, where we set a whole bunch of fires in their firing range, and there was probably 30 to 40 other agencies that were there, and we're all kind of working together. But other than that, I don't know of any large conferences or anything like that for the wildland.
Yeah. Wonder if that's a blind spot. We get a lot of benefit from going to these conferences and talking to other people and taking other classes.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it seems like that wildland community doesn't necessarily have that.
And it's dangerous too. Those guys really put themselves out there. And
there's no protection.
No.
That could change on a dime, man.
Yep. And a lot of them, they don't even have water for any kind of protection. They just have their hand tools or, you know, so.
But when it comes back to the way that you have set your trainings up, did you have a mentor at some point that was like, hey, this is kind of, because I didn't. And you know, kind of until I met Tom, to be honest with you. Like, did you have someone in your life like that?
So it started younger. My dad was a firefighter, and he instilled a lot of just hard work and drive in us. And I feel like when I started doing all the wildland stuff, I started seeing more of the hard work and the guys that were kind of pushing it. And where I got to where I work now, I went to one of our hardest houses and senior guys that have been on a lot of fires, and they had a ton of experience, and they were known to really push their probies. And the crew that I was working with, we ended up meshing really well. And so I still stay in contact with those guys, even though a few of them have retired, but they were huge mentors, and their training was designed like that too. They would really push us to pure exhaustion and be like, okay, now we're going to go through ladders. Now we're getting on the roof. Now we're doing a rescue scenario. Now we're going to VES this window. So when I was extremely moldable at that point, I was surrounded by it. And I feel like the early years here really helped me do that. And the crews that I worked with, they always had the leadership of they want to go out and push and get better and train hard, because they knew if you train hard when you're on the fire, it's a lot easier. And so I kind of just held on to that mentality and have continued to surround myself around people that have that mentality. And now as a company officer, the people that seem to be wanting to work with me have that same mentality as well. So I've gotten really lucky.
That is lucky, man. I mean, it's lucky that you have had those people in your life. Like, what kind of suggestions would you have for that person who's feeling kind of a little disenfranchised, a little, hey, I don't have anybody at my department, right? I have a one station department. I want to be better. You know, people who follow you and your page, you know, like, man, do you just leave and go to a department that looks like that on social media, or can you stay where you're at?
I think that depends on what everyone's needs are, because what you don't see with my department is the thousands and thousands of medical clades that we're running. And, you know, we're running 5,000 calls a year, and it's not 5,000 fires. So there's a lot of other stuff that's going on. And some of those other departments, I think every department has their positive and their negative, so whatever kind of fits their lifestyle. But for that person, I would just say, grind it out, train hard. If people are giving you a hard time about it, it's because they're insecure in their job and they don't want you to expose their weaknesses by you training. So just continue to grind it out and learn from every fire. We don't have to go to a lot of fires to learn a lot from them. So Let's just go to them and learn something from all of them. And if you're in that position where you want to go to a bigger city, I'd say do it earlier than later. So that way you're not kind of stuck in that mindset. And then you can go to that bigger department and find those people that you mesh well with and that are like-minded.
Damn good advice, man. What do you want to plug? How do people find you?
So you can find me on my Instagram. The Instagram is Coffee Table Tactics. And if there's any training or anything that anyone wants to see, let me know in our messages. And if I don't know how to do it, I'll do my best to find someone that does. And we'll see if we can get a video up on whatever it is that everyone wants to see. So,
and somebody's going to troll your ass in the next week or so.
Fact.
Yeah.
It's going to be Tom. All right.
I got an alias.
Yeah, Tom's going to start trolling.
Perfect.
Oh, thanks, man. I really appreciate it. And keep doing what you're doing, man. You're making the fire service better.
Absolutely, guys. And thank you so much for this opportunity. I love what you guys are doing. And I'm always excited whenever a new episode comes out or I see a new post from you guys. So.